You know, when I was really, really, really little, we used to sing an old hymn, and it used to go like this: I serve a risen Saviour. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, no matter what men may say. His hand of mercy, his grace is upon me, and he lives in my heart. And I think that's the understanding of many in this room this morning, because you're singing like you mean it today. Because sometimes I just wonder. Great. But it's great that to see everybody this morning and to celebrate together this incredible truth that Jesus is alive. Yeah, come on. And we, as the church, we want to declare that in as many ways as we can. And how many of you are on Facebook? Good number of you. You know, you see some interesting things on Facebook. You learn a lot about people. Sometimes it's really good, and some guys, you can go and sit down, unless you want to stand there for the next 3 hours. That's okay. You know, you do learn some interesting things. But yesterday I did see a post that somebody had shared, and it was a post that BBC York had put up. BBC Radio York, I think it was. And it was about a church who really wanted to declare that Jesus is alive. And they had this poster commissioned to put on the outside of the church building. Sadly, the printers didn't quite get it right. Sarah, could you put that photo on? And that was the caption that went with it. More tea, Vicar. But good news for Chris. Anyway. But resurrection, what is resurrection? If you look in the dictionary at the word resurrection, you find this type of definition: the condition of having been restored to life. The condition of having been restored to life. You know, the Bible says that we were dead in our trespasses and sins. But because of God's mercy, and he loved us so much, it says in Ephesians 2, that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. You know, we do talk about a lot about the cross, and rightly so, that Jesus died on the cross for us. But we have life this morning because Jesus was raised from the dead. Conquered death and hell. The Apostle Paul says, you know, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. When sin came into this world, you know, God's plan wasn't, I don't think, for the ideal that we should fall into sin. But sin came into this world, and it looked like the plan had been knocked off course. But I'm glad that God has a plan. Had a plan and still has a plan to get us as humanity back on course to our destiny of life with him. Yeah. That's the plan. We know it so well, don't we? John 3, verse 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. When Jesus was arrested, it looked like the plan was in jeopardy. When he was crucified, it looked even worse. It looked like things had been knocked off course. When you read, and I'll read a few verses from Matthew 26, of that passage that we refer to often, you know, on Monday, Thursday, where Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he was speaking to his disciples, and Judas, one of the 12, arrived. And with him was a large crowd armed with swords and clubs sent from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them: the one I kiss is the man. Arrest him. Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and he kissed him. And Jesus replied, "Do what you came for, friend." When you get to verse 56, it says this: all this took place that the writings of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples deserted him and fled. Everything looked bleak at the arrest of Jesus. The disciples must have thought, you know, we've been hearing about this incredible plan. We've been in the presence of Jesus for 3 years, hearing this incredible promise. But where is it today, now that Jesus is arrested? Where is it today? And particularly as things unfolded, as Jesus was falsely accused and ultimately sent to the cross. It seemed like the plan was shot to pieces when those disciples looked on. How many of you have been following a plan at some point in your life, and all of a sudden it seems like the plan has gone out the window? It can even happen with a sat-nav, can't it? With all the best technology in the world, and you're driving along and you're following the instructions of the sat-nav. You know, and all of a sudden there are 11 lanes in front of you, and the sat-nav hasn't been specific enough in advance to let you know which lane you're in. And there's traffic everywhere, and all of a sudden you find you're on the wrong course and you should have turned off. Anybody had that happen to them? Mm-hmm. What happens when that takes place? The sat-nav goes quiet for a moment or two. And you think, here we go. And we're heading over here and we need to be in over there. And the sat-nav goes quiet. But all of a sudden, the sat-nav kicks into life again. And it says, at the next junction, do this. And it recalculates a course to get you back on track to the destiny that you should have been on. How many of you know when Jesus died on the cross, things went quiet? Things went quiet for a little while. Until on Resurrection Day, it all changed. It might have gone quiet for a couple of days, but... And Noel Richards, in his song that sometimes is sung on a day like today, and I remember singing it in Wembley Stadium with thousands of people many years ago, when the life flowed from his body, it seemed like Jesus' mission failed. But his sacrifice accomplished victory over sin and hell. Actually, the plan wasn't off course at all. It was bang on course. God's plan was on track. The promise of salvation was still on. This is Resurrection Day, and I'm here to declare the promise is still on. The promise is still on. When the women turned up at the grave, and Anne-Marie read the passage earlier, you know, the angel proclaimed to them, Matthew 28, he isn't here. He has risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Just as he said, it's part of the plan. Come and see where his body was lying. Paul, when he writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1, says, God saved us and called us to live a holy life. He did this not because we deserved it, but because that was his plan. From the very beginning of time, to show us his grace through Jesus Christ. And now he has made all of this plan to us, made it plain to us by the appearing of Jesus Christ, our Savior. He broke the power of death and illuminated the way to life and immortality through the good news. That's what this is all about this morning. It's illuminating the truth of the gospel to us. I don't know where you're at today in your own personal life, personal story, things going on. But maybe there are people today who think, actually, I look back on my life and I've missed my opportunity. I've been to church before, maybe, but I don't know whether God is still there for me. I want to say to this morning, it is not too late to engage with God's plan of salvation for your life. It's not too late. Today, you can choose forgiveness and determine to follow God's will for you. And it'll transform everything. It'll transform everything. In the Old Testament, over and over again, we often term them as the major and the minor prophets. Got nothing to do with music, I don't think. The ones that are well known and those that aren't. Let me put it that way. But over and over again, God speaks through those prophets in the Old Testament. And he calls and he appeals to his people to return to him and align themselves again to the purposes that he has for them. Isaiah, classic example. Chapter 1, verse 18. Come now, let us settle the matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good things of the land. If you want this, if you're up for this, to respond to Jesus this morning, he says, you'll eat the good of the land again. You'll find hope, you'll find purpose in your life, you'll find peace and contentment through Jesus Christ. You may still have your challenges, you may still have troubles, but God will be with you and it will be a whole different perspective. Life in all its fullness. It's not too late to engage with his salvation. It's not too late to engage with his purpose for your life. I'm a firm believer that every one of us in this room, and apparently there's 201, or there were before the children went out, so I've just been told, which is great. It's great to see a great crowd here this morning. But I believe all 201, including the children and the workers that are through there. God has a purpose for each individual one of us. Well, thank all two of you. A purpose for each one of us. Listen to this. You know, and again, you may think, I'm not sure. I'm knocking on a bit now. My daughter comes home and she tells me that regularly. She turned 25 on Friday, and was it Friday? Yes, I'm getting a nod from my wife, it must be right. She turned 25, I sent her a text, happy birthday, and she sent me one back. She says, I guess now your daughter's 25, you feel really old. And thanks very much, Steph, that's great. Well, you might feel you're knocking on a bit, and I'm not knocking on that much, just to qualify. But listen to this about the promises of God over your life. The Apostle Paul says some amazing things sometimes, mind-blowing things. Listen to this one. When he writes in Romans chapter 11, and I'll read it from the New Living Translation, God's gifts and his call can never be withdrawn. Can we all just say that? God's gift and his call can never be withdrawn. Wow. Wow. That is quite something. When we think about the Easter story, the classic example of this, I think, is Peter. When Jesus is arrested, and Peter is following at a distance, seeing what's going to happen, seeing how this trial is going to unfold, and all of a sudden people are saying, actually, you are one of this guy's followers. We know the story, many of us, that he denied knowing Jesus on 3 occasions. Thankfully, amazingly, that wasn't the end of the road for Peter. Because of God's goodness and his grace and his faithfulness to his word and his promise and what Jesus had already spoken over Peter's life, there were things spoken over Peter's life that were still on. The promise was still on. Although he'd missed a moment, he'd fouled up a bit. There was something that Jesus said to him. In Matthew 16, Jesus said this, Peter, build my church. Build my church. And then after the resurrection, and Peter's probably got his head down a bit, perhaps he wasn't as impetuous as he had been historically, but Jesus says this to him. He wants to restore hope in him. He wants to restore that sense of purpose in his life. And in John 21, verse 15, it says, Peter, I want you to feed my lambs and feed my sheep and look after my lambs. The promise was still on over Peter's life. The promises were over his life, and they were still on, even though he perhaps fouled up a bit. We sing a song often here that has the lines, you renew, you restore, you make all things well. Your word stands forever. What he has said, he means. How many of you know what God says he means? Yeah. Whether it's written in God's word, or spoken over our lives, he means it. He's not like a God with a carrot on the end of a stick trying to get you to go in a certain direction and always offering something that is just out of reach. That is not our God. God is his loving heavenly Father who loves us with this incredible love and wants us to journey into our purpose and destiny. What has God said over your life? What have you heard from God as you've read his word? What have you heard as people have prayed with you and encouraged you? What is God's word over your life? I want to say the promise is still on. The promise is still on this resurrection day. Sometimes, you know, we go through issues and we go through challenges in life. We go through things that we really wish we didn't have to go through. And we find sometimes ourselves in very desperate and difficult and dark places. And it can seem sometimes like, where is God? where are the promises of God over my life now? Well, I've invited somebody this morning to do something very brave, to come and tell something of her story as I ask her some questions. And this is a very brave thing to do. So would you please welcome Shirley, who's going to come. Which way are you going this? Okay, you go that way, Shirley. Great, okay. So, now Shirley, you suffered for a long, long time with quite a severe and dark depression, didn't you?
Yes,
from
yes, I did.
Sort of university through really only to recent years.
Yes, yeah.
Give us one example of what that was like for you.
Well, probably from even before that age, really, I suffered from very bad depression. I had a very, very negative outlook on life. And even though I'd been a Christian since I was 15, that continued. I couldn't actually see an end to it. That's one of the things that came to mind. I couldn't see an end to the depression, and I thought it was always going to be a part of my life. A scripture, verse 2 of Psalm 13. How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and have sorrow in my heart? That kind of summed it up really for me. There was always this depression, even though there were times when it wasn't so bad, and I worked a lot of the time. There were times when it overwhelmed me completely and just took over this dreadful, dreadful sorrow.
Now, I've listened to Shirley's testimony. It's online at celebraterecovery.co.uk. Just had to look it up. And so I'm asking questions of Shirley, knowing some of the answers. But one thing Shirley talks about in her testimony, in her story, so you can go away and listen to it fully at a later date, you know, is that whole sense of when we're in this time of deep darkness and deep depression, as it were, you know, it can feel like there's no way out. But Shirley, at one point you talked about a rainbow, and that was quite significant for you. Do you just want to share a little bit about
yes,
that?
Yes, yes. 9 years ago, I had a terrible, terrible breakdown. My mum had died 18 months prior to that. And so that was partly what had triggered it. And memories affected me. My daughter had reached a certain age where I'd got particularly bad memories, and so I'd gone into this terrible depression. So it was during my recovery time. Somebody said to me during a really rough patch in my recovery that it seemed like things were so tangled up, a bit like a packet of embroidery thread that somebody had pulled in all directions, and was so tangled up that it was going to take a long time to actually untangle it all. And this brought a picture to my mind of this embroidery thread, all different colours. And then God just reminded me of the rainbow, all beautiful colours, all distinct. And I really sort of just realised that God could untangle this mess, and my life could become beautiful like the rainbow, with all the colours all distinct. Because the rainbow is a real symbol of promise and of hope, yeah. And that really renewed my hope that I was struggling with at the time.
Yeah, so it's that sense of promise still there.
Yes,
renewed hope for the future.
Yes.
But around that sort of time, you went on holiday as well, which
yes.
is always a good thing to do if you can. And you went to Lanzarote.
Mm.
And when you were in Lanzarote, you visited a church.
Yeah.
I always recommend, if you're on holiday anyway, it's always good to go and just check out the church and go and hear, you know, what's happening and just get a wider perspective. But God really spoke to you in that. Do you want to just share a little bit about
yes,
that?
Yes. I was really struggling at that time. I can't remember an awful lot about what the sermon was. The person preaching had based the sermon on one of Rick Warren's 40 Days of Purpose, but I couldn't remember very much about the sermon. But right at the end, he just said something about thankfulness, gratitude. And all of a sudden, I just felt the Lord say to me that my mum couldn't hurt me anymore. Now, a lot of my pain, a lot of my depression had been around family issues, and a lot of it tied up with my mum. And my mum had died, as I say, my mum had died not long before. And this was just kind of dropped into my heart. And I thought, initially, well, I can't be grateful, I can't be thankful that my mum has died. But then it became clearer to me that actually a lot of my grief around my mum wasn't just because she died, but all the while my mum was alive, I was hoping that my mum would love me. And when she died, that hope had gone altogether, and it had sent me, it was part of what had sent me into this dreadful, dreadful period of time. And I realised that actually I could move on. That, yes, my mum couldn't continue to hurt me, and I could actually move on from that pain. And a lot of the depression just started to lift, and I was different. My husband will tell you, if you talk to him, that when we came back from that holiday, I'd really turned a corner, and that had helped tremendously.
God's word is so important in this, and you talk about a scripture, particularly in Leviticus 25, I think it is, about the year of Jubilee. Can you just expand that a little bit on what that meant for you?
Yes, Leviticus 25:10 says, "Consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout the land to all its inhabitants. It should be a Jubilee for you." Well, whilst I was going through recovery, I celebrated my 50th birthday, and so that scripture was really, really wonderful for me, because that was the year that I came into freedom and liberty, and really started to just be different. And I haven't really suffered depression since that time.
Fantastic. Brilliant. Mm. Brilliant. One of the key things that Shirley talks about is something called Celebrate Recovery, which is a program to help people journey through some of these challenges that sometimes we find ourselves in. And there's quite a bit we could talk about that today. It's recommended by people like Rick Warren, who Shirley was just mentioning a few moments ago about the preach that was taking place on that Sunday when you were in Lanzarote. But Shirley, without going into loads of details, Celebrate Recovery is a program that helps people journey through some of those challenges in a biblical way and takes you through steps to do that. Now, without going into deep, just give us a couple of highlights from that, but if people want to know more, how can they sort of look at that?
If people want to know more about the Celebrate Recovery program, there's a website. You can look at the website and find out a bit about it, celebraterecovery.co.uk. Come and talk to me about my recovery. Listen to my testimony, it's there on the website. But also, on the 14th of May, Saturday the 14th of May, there's a European conference in Derby for the Celebrate Recovery. I'm going to be going, and if anybody wants to come along with me, it would be great. I would love to see a Celebrate Recovery programme here in Grimsby. So far it hasn't happened. We ran a very, very small version of Celebrate Recovery in our home for 4 years after I'd gone through the programme in Derby. But we would love to see Celebrate Recovery here in Grimsby. There are so many hurting people, not just outside of the church, but even within the church as well. So find out more. Come and talk to me after the service. Look at the website, listen to my testimony, come to the conference with me. That would be great.
Brilliant. Okay, let's thank Shirley for sharing this morning. There are various things like Celebrate Recovery, you know, freedom, Steps to Freedom in Christ, etc. And if you are challenged with some of the things that Shirley was talking about, please do come and talk to somebody about that. Don't live in isolation. And I think that's a big key. And just for a few moments to conclude today, I just want us to think about, you know, re-engaging with God and God's will for your life. and God's purpose for your life. I think one of the key things for me is our heart and our desire. Do we really want to do that? Is this really what we want to do? You know, the writer of Hebrews says this, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. You know, when you go into the presence of God, when you approach God like that, I tell you what, there are arms wide open. God's arms are wide open for you. You know, we often have opportunity for people to be prayed for, and you can come out and be prayed for over and over again. But actually, where is our heart? Do we really want to engage with God and his purposes? And also, I think another thing, key thing is to surrender. To actually say, Lord, I'm just putting my life totally in your hands. That's a big thing, isn't it, to surrender? The Apostle Paul, he says to the church in Rome, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all that he has done for you. This is truly the way to worship him. Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. What an incredible promise. But it's all about surrendering our lives to him. And I think another key thing that Shirley touched on is coming to that place of being able to let go of the past. Because sometimes there are things in our past, aren't there, that can weigh us down and we can think, oh my. But again, the Apostle Paul, when he churches, I'm getting my words mixed up. We've had our little grandson with us and he didn't sleep much last night. That's my excuse anyway. Perhaps it's just because I'm getting old. That's what Steph would say. But Paul, he says to the church at Philippi, he said, I focus on this one thing. Forgetting the past, looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Jesus Christ, is calling us. You know, we may have our disappointments. We may even have our failures. But what about from here on? Don't let the past failure stop you entering your divine future. Don't let the past failure hold you up. Give it over to God. And in all those things, you know, with challenges that we go through, there may be a point where we actually, looking back, we may need to forgive somebody as well. Forgive somebody. And how many of you know to forgive is not an easy thing either? Surrender, forgiveness, these aren't big, easy things. They're big things. Forgive. Forgiveness is a choice. It doesn't just happen. It is a choice. Again, Paul in Colossians 3 says, bear with each other and forgive whatever, let me say that again, whatever grievances you may have against one another. That whatever is a bit all-encompassing, isn't it? It's one of those infinity-type words. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Wow. How on earth are we going to do that? With God's help. With God's help in our lives. How many of us know the devil is out to cause discord in the body of Christ, to knock us off course, to get us off track of our purpose and destiny? But I want to say, if you've had a bit of a disagreement or a falling out or a bit of a challenge with somebody, seek to get it right. Seek to forgive. Ask the Lord to help you. And he will, by the power of his Spirit. And number five, I'd say, don't isolate yourself. Do not isolate yourself. If you are in one of those challenging places and you're looking back and you're saying, I think I've missed the boat in terms of destiny and purpose for my life, don't isolate yourself. Ecclesiastes tells us that two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up, but pity the one who falls and has no one to help him up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm, but how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. And then he says, a cord of three strands is not easily broken. Community, the body of Christ, so important. This family of God that we come together on days like today to celebrate with great thanks and joyfulness. And I want to invite the band just to come back as we wrap this up. So if you look back and you say, actually, I do think I've missed some moments in my life, missed some opportunities, missed some possibilities, maybe even made some bad decisions. But want to get your heart today is, Lord, I want to get back on track. I really want to get back on track. I want to say to you that God says this resurrection morning, the promise is still on over your life. The promise is still on. Resurrection, the condition of having been restored to life. Those promises, I want to say over your life today, are being restored to life right here, right now.
Yes.
Right here, right now, there are promises over people's lives. I'm declaring in this place are being restored to life in all of their fullness. So the promise is on for salvation. Today, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that promise is for you, that Jesus died on a cross, gave of himself, that we might have our sins forgiven, that we and our households may be saved. The promise is still on for purpose in our life. God's gifts and his call can never be withdrawn. Wow. And if you think this morning, actually, David, what you've been talking about, I'm right there, I'm right with you. Hey, fantastic. I'm a child of God, I know it, absolutely. I've received his salvation. I sense what I'm doing and where I'm going. I just sense the purpose of God over my life. And it's like you can tick the box and you go, yeah, this is fantastic. Well, I want to say finally, not only is the promise on for salvation, not only for purpose, but I believe in 2016, the promise is still on for the church. For the church in this nation and across the nations, the promise is still on. When you look at the statistics, and we were hearing from the Bishop of Grimsby just a couple of weeks ago about the challenges in some of the Anglican scene and the Lincoln diocese being in the most difficult and most challenging diocese in the UK and in sense of decline. But he was saying, and I'm saying, and I believe God is saying, the promise for my church is still on. What was the promise for the church? You see, when Jesus appeared after the resurrection, in Luke's gospel, it's recorded in chapter 24, that he opened their minds so that they could understand the scripture. He told them, this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sin will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And then he said this, I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. The promise of God's power for his church is still on. When Jesus rose from the dead, he said, now a promise is coming. I'm going to ascend to my Father, but a promise is coming. And I believe each one of us in this room would do us good to have a little bit more of that promise fulfilled in our hearts and lives. The fullness of God's Spirit poured afresh. So I'm going to invite us all to stand, if we could. And we're going to pray, and then the band are going to lead us in a song or two to close. But for those here this morning who recognize, actually, I can see what you're saying, David, in terms of that whole thing about salvation. I've never really come to that point of acknowledging that Jesus Christ died for my sins and asking him to become Lord of my life. That promise of salvation. Today, that promise is still on. And I want you to pray a prayer with me right now, if that's you. Pray it in your heart. But pray it with sincerity, if you really mean it. Dear God, I thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. I thank you that he was obedient. He went to the cross to die for my sins. I thank you that that wasn't the end of the story. I thank you that he rose again that I might receive your life in all its fullness. I ask you now to forgive me of my sins and to come into my life by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 If you prayed that prayer, we'd love to talk to you, give you some literature, pray with you before you go. Please do come and have a chat with us at the end. But maybe today there are people here as well who are looking back and saying, actually, I wonder if I missed a sense of destiny and purpose. I missed a moment. I want to declare that God, I want to say for a number of you across this room today, is saying today is a day to reconnect with your purpose. Because the promise is still on. The promise is still on. So if that's you, why don't you just reach out your hands in front of you? Let's have everybody's eyes closed. Just reach out your hand in a sense of surrender and to receive again the confirmation of God and his word over your life. Father, I thank you for your promise. Your promise is a yes and amen in Christ Jesus. And the end is not yet across this room for many of the people with their arms outstretched. And Lord, we're asking right now that by your Spirit you would reaffirm your word into their hearts, and that this year, 2016, would be a year of re-engagement with your purpose and your plan for each one with arms outstretched today. So Lord, by your Spirit, not only today but tomorrow and in the coming weeks and months, would you reaffirm and reaffirm and reaffirm and encourage, and where doors of opportunity open for people, I pray you would grant great boldness by the power of your Spirit. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And for all as the church, why don't we all just lift our hands in surrender and openness to God, and this promise of the Father through Jesus Christ, and after his resurrection, he said, I'm here, this is what I'm here to declare. The promise of the Spirit of God for you, for your life, for your empowering, for your encouraging, for your strength, for your enabling. Lord, would you pour afresh your Spirit upon us on this Easter day as we celebrate your resurrection together, as we worship you. Would you come, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us in Jesus' name.